Howdy, everyone. So everyone knows about websites. Everyone's heard of Web 2.0, but what on earth is Web 3? And we've got somebody who's a specialist in that space, Eric McHugh. Now, Eric is president of ShopX, Web 3 e-commerce company, co-founder and chief growth officer of Dating, an AI-powered matchmaker. In the past, he founded a SaaS platform that replaced affiliate codes for e-commerce brands. He's worked for consultants as a consultant at Fortune 500 companies, helped Snap optimize their ad algorithm, and even worked in dark matter research, which is quite cool. But last but not least, he can also habla español from a little bit when he interned in Barcelona in Spain. So, I mean, quite a lot to unpack there. So, first of all, Eric, great to have you on board.
Hey, Nicholas, I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
Now, we're going to be talking about Web3. A lot of folks are not going to know what on earth Web3 is. And I want to give an example of a discussion I had this morning where I started marketing 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, guess what there wasn't?
Web 2.
Yeah, Web 2. So to that point, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter, no nothing. So we were doing traditional, well, it wasn't called traditional advertising then, it was called advertising. And then all the social media platforms came about. And then what I'd learned was traditional, and there's all of the new platforms and new media. Now we've got new media. So I suppose, I mean, when the Gutenberg press came out, that was new media. And there's always, we humans are very smart. We like creating new work for ourselves. So we've got Web 3 now. So can you explain to me or to the audience, what is the main difference between Web 2.0 and Web 3?
Sure, I'm happy to do that very simply too. So in terms of Web 1 versus Web 2 versus Web 3, let's think of Web 1 as read only. So you can go online, you can read stuff, which is fantastic. It's an innovation in itself. Web 2, I think you framed it pretty well in terms of social media. So in Web 2, you can read and you can write. So let's use Instagram as an example. If I'm in Web 2 on Instagram, I can write content, so I can create a post. You can read that content, so you can interact, you can look at it, you can do what you will, but you don't own the content. Who owns the content in that situation? It's Instagram, so they can cancel us at any point in time. They can sell our data for nefarious purposes. So that's the issue with Web 2. Web 3, let's call it read, write, and own. So the key word being own. So in Web 3, I can read content, I can write content in the form of NFT, and I can own the content. So let's say hypothetically, I'm a Web 3. I create content in the form of the NFT. I get that NFT to you. You purchase it, however you get it, it's yours. There's now a relationship between me and you. So my area of expertise is e-commerce, so I can send value your way, you can send value my way. The cool thing is, once you own that NFT, I created the NFT, I can't take it from you. Instagram can't take it from you. The government can't take it from you. Amazon can't take it from you. It's yours to own, you can sell it if you want, you can lose it. It's all up to you, dude.
So right now, folks are always looking for utility in things that they're going to be spending money on. And NFTs, and you touched on NFTs, got a bad rap pre-COVID, I think. And there were a lot of bad actors in that space. And what I've felt is that in the beginning of any new sort of technology, there are people that, take a chance. And what I feel is that right now, a lot of those bad actors have been taken out. There's a little bit more knowledge about what's happening in Web3, what NFTs are, what cryptos are. And those charlatans in the beginning have sort of been flushed out. We can look at Sam Bankman-Fried, etc. The guys who, maybe not a baddie, but, somebody that did take advantage a little bit of folks. Can you give us some examples of ways that brands have actually used, are moving on to Web3?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to. And I want to point out that they're 100% right in terms of Web3 getting a bad rap at the beginning. And I think it was justified, to be honest. Like, and I've had this conversation so many times with different brands. It was like, well, aren't like 95% of people in crypto and Web3 scams? I'm just like, well, kind of, yes. Do I care about a $500,000 monkey? No, probably not. But this was where ShopX had to do a different differentiation in terms of the verbiage we use. So NFT, that stands for non-fungible token. So think of Bored Apes, think of whatever, where it's mainly a hype-driven product, aka number go up, you make money, you sell. I mean, some, there's real projects, but most of them were just trying to, it was more of a money grab. Where ShopX, what we do is we create eNFTs. So eNFT stands for an e-commerce NFT. So the NFT value doesn't come from a potential price increase in the sense like of hype. It comes from the e-commerce utility that comes with NFT. So why would you as a customer purchase an eNFT? Well, it's with the e-commerce utility that comes with it. If you want the utility, you buy. If you don't, you don't. It's that simple. So in terms of real world use cases, I like to give three examples just because it covers a lot. So I like to give the small startup, the mid-size, and the enterprise level client just to give you a good basis. So we can start off with the small startup one. And this is, I love this use case too, because it hits close to home. Because I'm more about the long tail of just brands. Like, yeah, the big brands will be in there, but like, how do we get everyone else? And that's my gem. So in terms of the small startup, we are working with he's an influencer called Husky Jackson. If you're a fan of dogs, check him out on Instagram. It's a fantastic profile. Does a Husky doing Husky stuff. So what he did obviously is he had an audience, but he didn't have a product or a way to monetize it truly yet. So what he did is he launched a NFT collection called the Husky Jackson Pass. Prior to the release of his product, he was able to make some money in Kickstarter fashion. So he made like $5,000 or $10,000, which isn't like retirement money, but like an everyday person, like $5,000 to $10,000 is $5,000 to $10,000, especially exactly. if you're working like extra jobs. Like, well, I want to start this business. I don't want to dump my own money. So he was able to make the money prior to starting the business, use that to create a product. And the cool thing is, because people already purchased the NFT pass, he had an audience to sell the product to already. So he got a good head start with that. So that's a small startup brand. I would say the mid-size brand, let's go with the Mag Park. What they are is they're a hat company in LA. So they sell hype wear, like limited time drops, cool shoes, cool hats, all that stuff. And the vibe of the company is like a hometown dude. His name is Mickey. He's from LA. The customers love him. He loves the customers. Like, they have a basketball hoop in the store where like the kids will come and play. It's not by any means a chain. So his biggest issue is he'd release like a hat collection. Like, let's say it's 500 hats. Within less than a second, checkout bots would come up. They'd swoop up all of his inventory, flip it on the secondary market for 10 times the profit. And then the core customers, like the kids who are like waiting outside overnight, they don't get the product. Everyone's bummed. No one's happy. So what he did is he created a three-tiered system. Let's call it gold, silver, bronze, but a different name, like Pink Mocha, World Famous, and I forget the last one. But he created a three-tiered NFT loyalty system where each different tier got different benefits. So the Pink Mocha holders got early access products. Same with the silver, same with the bronze. The cool thing is he was able to sell out 125 of his Pink Mocha passes in less than 24 hours, 4.75 ETH, which is over $1,000 right now. And my favorite thing is over 50% of the people were 100% brand new to crypto, but they wanted the e-commerce utility that came with NFT. So they figure out how to work the system. They have their NFT. Now they get early access to product. They get special in real life events. There's a section in his Discord channel for NFT holders where they help design products and all that stuff. And on top of that, so the way our NFT token gating section works is we token gate the checkout. So if we're trying to buy his hat, I have the NFT, I go to the checkout, I'm clear to go. Any retention emails or whatever emails, payment options he has, still work. But if you don't have that NFT, you're directed to a page where you can buy that NFT or you can't add the product to checkout. This 100% protects from the bots. So now if he launches a product behind the NFT token gated system, the bot can't get it. His customers get it. They're happy. So as a brand, you can play around with this too. It's like one of the benefits of NFT loyalty programs, I would say the biggest one is customer retention. Meaning an e-commerce name of the game isn't acquiring the customer or isn't getting the customer, because more often than not, you're going to spend more money getting the customer. Your customer acquisition cost is usually higher than the amount of money you make on the first purchase. So how do you get them coming back? That's the name of the game. And NFTs really work with that because of the ownership aspect. It's like, you're part of the brand, you have the NFT, you feel like you own that. And on top of that, a cool thing is, if the brand does take off because of the ownership aspect, let's say Mag Park becomes world famous in 10 years, this is the next Nike or Lululemon, the value of the NFT should go up for the customers. And if they want to sell it because it's their NFT, they totally can. let's say mid-size example. And the cool thing about this is most crypto projects, there's no real use cases. They're getting daily, this product, we're checking the numbers too. They're using it on a daily basis. Like 2 weeks ago, or probably in last week, it's like, there's a new drop for the Pig Mocha holders. He got it. He knew they're going to sell it. So it's a way to judge how much product you can make too. It's like, I have 400 passes, roughly an 80% conversion rate. Okay. If I make 300 product, if I know I need to make 300 product for sell it. So it's a great way for as a brand to judge how much product you have to make. And if you want to generate hype, you can create less product and then that sells all instantly. And then you can generate hype that way. So that's a mid-sized brand. I would say our biggest client right now is probably Fox's new show, Krapopolis. So if you ever watched Rick and Morty, the creator, Dan Harmon, he created a new show called Krapopolis, which recently aired. And there is an NFT collection alongside of the show called the Crap Chickens. So I'm a Crap Chicken holder. So if you're a Crap Chicken holder, you get access to special content, you get merch, your Crap Chicken may show up in the show, you get a vote on stuff in real life to see what's going to happen in the show. So there's a relationship between you and the show. And the cool thing about this is they launched their NFT collection, I'd say like 6 months to a year prior to the first episode of the show. So going into their first episode, they already had a collection of people who felt ownership of the show and they had record numbers. So I think the NFT aspect played into that because they already knew a ton of people were going to watch. They already invested emotionally, financially into that show. So when the episode aired, a lot of people tuned in.
Is that all? I mean, there's a...
Yeah, it's done. That's a mouthful. No, yeah. To answer your question, it's not all, and that's my favorite part. Because Web3 is a new technology brand, and it's composable too, meaning everyone builds off each other. So as more of our brands use Web3, they have different business needs, they have different business ideas. They're going to try different things, and certain things are going to work with different brands, and certain things are going to fail. So brand A may try something that works. Brand B may see that brand A is doing that. They'll try it, it fails, but they try it again with that and they optimize it for them. So there's going to be a plethora of new ways people are going to use NFTs and Web3, and we can't predict.
Well, that's the thing, is that this is where the next sort of generation of wealth is going to be made, not just in NFTs, you know, speculation, but in businesses built off Web3 and how to utilize NFTs. And you touched on quite a few nice points there. Loyalty for me is obviously a very important part of that customer journey. And it seems that NFTs have this opportunity to really hook people in with a specific brand. And we might see, obviously, you've got your big brands like Coca-Cola, IBM, you know, these major brands. But you're talking about that hat company. There are lots of micro brands that aren't necessarily going to become the next Nike. They're not necessarily going to become the next Adidas. But they've got a very strong social following. And if you think about Discord, X or Twitter, the engagement that these folks have is quite deep. And a lot of people are trying to get involved with the community that feels them, that they can, you know, feel part of a community. And as you mentioned with Dan Harmon's exercise there, being able to see your NFT in a program, that is wild. I mean, that's genius marketing.
You hit the nail on the head. I think NFTs are a great way to build community and find your core strong fan base. Because every econ, like, especially when you're new, and like, obviously Nike and Adidas are going to have a fan base regardless. But if you're a new up and coming brand, like the hat company, identifying your core fan base, creating like a little army of super fans who they like, and in crypto, it's created, but it's common for people to change their PFD to their NFT and just tell everyone about it, even though you don't ask. We've seen that happen for e-commerce brands where like they switch their e-commerce, like they switch their PFB to like their Mag Park pass or getting people into the Discord. And again, it goes to the ownership. It goes to the community building. Like the guys have access to Mickey. They're talking on a daily basis. If you've been in through their NFT token gated Discord compared to the regular section, the token gated section is just a complete, it's mayhem in a good way too, but like, the activity is there. It's fun because they're part of like a club, or they're part of the brand now. And with that ownership, like think of it like a timeshare. It's like, if I have a timeshare in Hawaii, if you're my friend, you're staying in Hawaii, it's like you're staying my timeshare because it's my timeshare. But if not, it's like, I don't care where you stay, just go anywhere. But not, and it generates that word of mouth marketing factor, which I think marketers, this is where I disagree with a lot of marketers, where it's like KPIs, numbers, blah, blah, blah. Where word of mouth marketing impact is, I think that's the most valuable thing to me, because it's that authenticity where it's like, how tired of you are seeing Instagram ads or Google ads? Like, you log on, it's like, Jesus Christ, were you listening to me? I'm not trying to buy this. But like, if my friend recommends something, you're like, all right, kind of retarded, but I'll just
think of how out of touch current marketers are in terms of this Web3 space, because I include myself in that, because, you know, I've grown up from traditional marketing to Web1, Web2, and I'm finding my way into Web3 now. Just, and a lot of folks that we deal with in terms of marketers don't have Instagram accounts, don't know how to do LinkedIn. So these are big senior executives who don't know how to do their LinkedIn profile properly. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine the struggle they're going to have to wrap their mind around an NFT and dApps and what else have I got here? CNFTs, you know, compressed NFTs and proof of attendance protocols. I mean, they are just going to say, give up right now. And that's what I love about your business, ShopX, because I'm starting to get a slightly better idea of what it is. Because how do you take a very complicated process, you know, in terms of minting NFTs and going through that process and bridging the gap between traditional marketing, you know, and I'm including social media, Web2 in traditional marketing now. And so talk to me a little bit about ShopX, how that started and, you know, the trajectory of the business.
Yeah. So in terms of onboarding, if you want to Web3, again, it's a complicated topic. Even on business calls, unless they're in crypto, I like to avoid the term NFT or Web3 as much as possible. I just call it the next generation loyalty, like a loyalty pass for a lifetime. And then I just list of stats, which usually gets them in. In terms of the shop, the way to get people on Web3 is it really has to be as simple as possible. So that's what we did when design. So you have to play. So ShopX is more of like a Web 2.5 company in the sense we're the bridge for like a Web 2 brand to enter Web3. And we did that by integrating with both Shopify and WooCommerce. So imagine you're on Shopify, you want to enter Web3. You're like, how do I do this? Do I hire a dev? Well, I don't want to do that. That's like 40K. Oh, then that's probably not going to work. Okay, let me check. So we're an app within the Shopify app store. And so to enter Web3, all you have to do is download the ShopX app, get the right amount of tokenized software licenses. Once you have those licenses, you're in the ShopX app within your Shopify platform, which you already know how to do. And to create your NFT collection, we made it so simple to launch your NFT. So what you're doing in the back end is you're deploying a smart contract. But you don't need to know that because you most likely don't care. So to create your NFT collection, all you have to do is fill out two simple forms. So we created a no-code solution. It's like name, picture, price, description, how many passes you want. Click next. You fill out a simple form for a landing page. And then you click create your NFT. It takes less than 5 minutes. And during QA, my grandma was able to do it. Like it's that easy. And once your NFT collection is deployed, we're already integrated with your Shopify store. It's like, okay, great. Gold pass collection is deployed. What do I do next? Oh, click add products. And then we're already within your Shopify. So you just see your list of products and you get to select which ones you token gate. So the brand side is relatively easy once you just, again, like in terms of your point, it's like, you know, like an executive, we can't even create a LinkedIn profile. So what happens is you just pawn it off and have someone else just do it. And like someone younger is just like, okay, this is easy enough. But that's not even the biggest issue. So ShopX is a B2B2C company, meaning we could sign all the brands in the world, but if they can't sell the product to their customer, it's dead in the water. So we've also focused on simplifying the process for the customer. So let's say your customer, you want to purchase a Nike NFT. All you do is go to that Nike NFT landing page. And we're like, I believe in the Web3, so you can purchase an Ethereum. You can take custody if you want, that's totally an option. But we've also integrated with Crossmint so customers can pay with credit card. What's happening on the back end is customer is buying Ethereum with credit card, paying for the gas with credit card. Brand is getting the Ethereum. So they're technically buying Ethereum and sending it to the brand. But the customer doesn't even know that. All they see is credit card, put in their information, and they get their NFT. And then from there, they can claim the product.
So that process you've outlined sounds quite simple, but this must have taken quite a lot of engineering on your side or getting this process right. So from ideation to actually getting it onto Shopify, I mean, that must have been quite a process.
Yeah, zeros and millions of dollars. I mean, well, obviously, it didn't work as smoothly as I described it. Like during the whole process, obviously, things keep breaking and things keep changing. But again, no one needs to know about that.
One of the cool things for your business, I reckon, is that unlike traditional marketing, where every year you've got to explain to people what your product is and how it works, you've actually got the opposite. You've got the opposite thing. You've got this. You've got the pyramid where you've got youngsters who've been playing World of Warcraft. You've got people who've been playing Roblox, Fortnite, and programs like this, where they're used to spending, you know, virtual money to buy virtual things, and they understand how this process works. So you've got this, but they can't spend their own money yet. Yeah. So your target market in the next 5 years is going to absolutely explode. So are you ready for that?
Yeah.
And are you managing to sell that concept to your clients well enough?
So the cool thing is, so we believe in building during the bear market because everything is cheaper. There's just less noise. Like gas is cheaper. It's easier to build product. Yeah. And marketing during the bull. So we've established ourselves. So when everything does heat up, we're in the right position to scale. And in terms of scalability, it's relatively simple. It's the same product. So you just need customer service reps because they download the app. I mean, most people can do it themselves, but we're ready for the influx of brands. And to your point, I liked what you said about the game example. Like my cousin, when he was in middle school, he got it more than my dad. So there's that thing. So I think we're a good position for when that trend goes. And again, like crypto is on a positive swing too. It's becoming more and more mass adopted. So all tailwinds, I think, are in favor of ShopX being successful.
So you're out there. How are you going to keep ahead of your competitors? Because this is obviously a space that I believe from my basic research that you are one of the first ones there, if not the first one in this type of space. How are you going to stay ahead in this point where there isn't enough money in it just yet, but the potential is there?
Yeah, so I'll go 3 points. And the first point about Web3 is everyone does work together. So like in this particular space, I think there's enough money to go around. It's not like I'm actually wishing to compare as well. It's like we do have some. It's like, okay, good luck, guys. But in terms of actual reasons, I think we're the simplest app. We're one of the first ones that do full service, meaning some brands work with, and this is why ours cost so much more and was so much harder to build. Some brands, like they can work with a pre-minted NFT collection. They can retroactively make a fit. But we're the ones who allow that we can do that, but we also allow the brands to create their NFT collection from scratch. So I think we're the best at that. We're the simplest platform. And this reason I really don't like, but it does help, is we've been around for so long and we put in the legal work to establish a moat. Like we've done everything the right way in terms of legal. So that's a big barrier to entry for a lot of brands just because, yeah, it just is.
So you don't feel you fired too early? Are you ready for this? Because often they're guys who are, you know, visionaries, and then unfortunately, you know, it takes a couple of years. After they've passed or something, then like Tesla, the original Tesla, these things happen. So are you ready for the long term on this?
Yeah, so I don't think, and I can see why you would say fired too early, because that does happen. I would say like 95% of startups in this particular case, no. Reason one is we're self-sustaining in terms of money. So like it's hard to fire too early if you're self-sustaining in terms of money. But with this space, it's important to fire early because we've been in the space for so long. We're so well connected. A lot of times, and this is how a lot of brands come to us, is like they don't know what they're doing. So they just reach out to their friend who knows of the space. Yeah. And at that point, being a lead in the space, they refer to ShopX. So a lot of our brands come that way through referrals. So that only comes with being in the space for so long. Again, like you have to have the bruises to prove it's like, okay, they've been around for two bear markets. They're going to refer someone to us versus someone who's just completely brand new. So like obviously surviving, like they're around the bear market is pretty trial. Like we've lost so many brands because of the bear market. I can speak on that too. It's like one brand, Impact Wrestling. They're a relatively big brand in the rest, like the WWE. We had everything done. So we created the NFT pass. We created the benefits, which were to like get autographed merchandise and meet a wrestler, which I think is cool. They got everything past their like legal teams. Everything was good to go. They did their PR and they actually released their Instagram post right around SBF time. So then they got ratioed in the comments saying, we don't want this. So like, we had to go through that. But now when they come around, they'll use ShopX again. So again, you know, I think we're perfectly positioned, especially with crypto heating up, like things in the background. Like it was outreach before, but now it's more inbound for just like influencers, agencies. So it's pretty sweet. We're in a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to be an overnight success in 5 years, basically. So
I wouldn't say overnight success, but it may look like that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I joke with the likes of Tesla and Google and that people think they just came out of nowhere, but those guys were laboring behind the scenes under their desk for years and years.
No pay for a while, burning like 12-hour days.
Yeah.
So many things just fail too. That just don't work. You're just like, okay, this, like, cause in Star Wars, like you try nine things, don't work. I mean, there are nine things you know don't work. So you cross those off. You try the 10th thing, it works. Like, eureka, this works. This is amazing. 3 days later, it stops working. You're just like, why is this not working?
Yeah.
Adjust, adapt, and then just kind of move forward. You just keep trucking along, dude.
I take it one of the processes I've seen happening in new tech adoption is that there's a flurry of activity in the beginning. So there'll be thousands of NFTs, thousands of different platforms, thousands of different marketplaces. But people don't actually want to understand, have 30 passwords, 30 ways of trying to download things, 30 wallets, 30 this and that. It defaults to a couple of fundamental or basic systems. So if we look at Google, everyone just searches on Google and Bing if they have to, because they don't want to go to 20 search engines. In terms of the crypto space or the NFT space, what are the platforms that you think have got the best, and this is not financial advice for anyone, but out of the platforms that you've seen, and you mentioned ETH, which are the ones that you think are going to be the foundation of this industry going forward?
Yeah, so in my opinion, Bitcoin is king. Bitcoin does, the whole industry does. That's how I got it. I started off as a big Bitcoin maximalist. So that's where my entire thinking. ETH has first mover advantage. Its issues are, again, not financial advice. Its issues are like gas fees are annoying. Like for a person into Web3, like they're trying to buy their NFT pass, asking what gas is has actually been one of the bigger barriers. So gas, they have to work on that. But I think layer twos help. And in terms of other platforms, we're about to go interoperable with BNB, ZK Sync, and Apex. So those ones are good. But honestly, Solana is good too. Like I've used Solana ecosystem in the past. I have no complaints. We're just not working with them as of yet. Mm-hmm. So I'd say those are big four. Like, let me think. Yeah. So Bitcoin, ETH, Apex, BNB, Solana. Nothing is financial advice. I like Chainlink a lot too. I think that's a major sleeper, but not financial advice. Don't listen to me. Yeah. But I think Chainlink has a lot of real world use cases, and I think they're doing the right things behind the scenes to make that happen.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype behind them before when they started out, and then I think that when the Russians invaded Ukraine, everything just stopped for a while. I had a couple of nice examples of companies sort of going into the NFT space. Adidas, Gucci, etc. They did a couple of plays in the space right in the beginning, but I don't know if they've sort of continued with that, whether they got themselves burnt in those spaces. You spoke about Shopify. Does your app work? Would your app work on, for example, a Louis Vuitton website? If they, you know, when you buy a Louis Vuitton bag, the value, or Hermes, the value is in the resale as well. And with an NFT linked to your bag or to your actual product, might actually help the value of that bag sort of grow.
Yeah. So right now we work on Shopify and WooCommerce. And for your listeners, there are four major e-commerce platforms: Shopify, WooCommerce, Bigforce Commerce, and probably Salesforce Commerce. Shopify and Woo are the biggest. So if you want the add-on, if you just want the plug-in chug solution, it's like, okay, download an app. Good to go. You can run with it. Those are the platforms we work on. But most big brands, they have their own tech solution. So we can work with them. They just require like a bespoke solution. So meaning our dev teams will work together to make something happen. So if the financials and the incentives are right, you can totally work with everyone. It's just not the plug and chug solution. But yeah, in terms of like Hermes or just the value and the reselling, attaching an NFT I think is a great way to add value. And if you think the metaverse is going to be a thing, attaching an ENFT to that metaverse product is the perfect connection because of the physical to digital. Like I can buy my Louis Vuitton. Let's use Gucci as an example. I buy my Gucci jacket. I get an ENFT attached to that. My metaverse avatar gets that ENFT, the jacket in the form of the ENFT. And with token gating, since I have that Gucci NFT, I get access to the Gucci lounge in the metaverse because they're holding a concert. And vice versa too. I buy something in the metaverse. I claim that ENFT. I can go to the Gucci store in real life, claim that token gated product in real life. And the cool thing about attaching the ENFT products, I think it works well for Nike too. It's like the example I like to use is Nike just because I'm putting it out there. But if you attach a ENFT to each individual Nike product, you can track the data of that product throughout its whole lifetime. So as Nike, like, okay, shoe sold once, twice, three times, four times for this amount at this point in time. Great. And I can program a royalties too. So every time it sells, I get my cut. But on the customer standpoint, I could track the use, like how many users it had. Like, okay, it's been sold four times, but it actually came from the Nike factory. Great. I can actually buy this.
I suppose what we're seeing is now that the technology behind NFTs is kind of being solidified, now comes the tough bit, which is the creativity side. How do you come up with creative concepts and cool ideas? And that's, I suppose, where companies like yours come in as well, from the consulting side, the tech side. Yeah. You've nailed it. We've got to come up with new, exciting ways to engage our customers. And honestly, the world is your oyster. I mean, what can't you do in this space?
No, yeah. I like that you bring that up point too, because with our first clients, it's a new space. It is what it is. And everyone's like, what am I doing? This is new. I don't know what to do. So offering the consultancy side was a major platform at the beginning. It's like, okay, what's the best practice in marketing? And then you use that to coach them along. And again, going back to the example, people are using their technology in different ways. So we're kind of a pool of knowledge. Like, okay, brand A did this, brand B did this, brand C did this. Maybe you want to try it for your brand. But in the end, we're really a tech company. So we provide brands with the tools to onboard in the Web3 space. Personally, we want them to succeed. We want their customers to be happy. So we're offering them advice if they ask. But in the end, it's the brand's job to come up with the creativity, to properly sell to their customers, to establish a relationship with their customers where we're as a support role. So we're more of like a train the trainer type of thing where it's like, yeah, we'll offer you documents. We'll help your documents that your customers may need to enter the Web3 space. Here's some quick guides. Here's some quick videos. But in the end, the responsibility does lie on the brand.
So theoretically, you are almost like Meta and Google in terms of offering the platform for creativity. So Google doesn't create Google ads. I mean, ads for you, and Facebook doesn't create your ads, but it creates, you know, the space for you to do that. And that people can tie into your ecosystem or generate value out of what you're offering, I think is, you know, building that network is going to be your next challenge, I guess, getting people to say, okay, here's this plugin and this is how we're going to use it. And this is how user client are going to, this is going to be on the loyalty and the brand awareness stage, whatever, wherever it is on your customer journey, come up with some interesting ideas. So, I mean, that would be the challenge, I suppose, is to get folks to build on your, build on your platform.
We have the tech down, but again, it's about scaling. So right now we're doing a pretty good job in terms of just like normal sales structures, like the cold emails, the referrals, all of that, but that's all still manual work. We want to get to a point where we're only dealing with people downloading your app freely and that they have questions reaching out to them. So we want to be as handoff as possible. And how we get there, I mean, it's relatively simple. We have the first mover advantage, which really helps, but that doesn't stay. We have to keep optimizing. We have to keep making it simpler and simpler and simpler. Because I think brands will just use, well, not even brands, but their customers will recommend. If it's not easy for the customers, it'll fail. So, and brands will choose the platform that's simplest to them. So if we keep simplicity in mind, we keep everything working, we keep our marketing, we keep our reputation, we're good to go, which again, easier said than done, but it's going to take a lot of work, but it should be fun.
So 2024 is looking pretty good. I think globally, things are sort of calming down. Obviously, we've got issues in various parts of the world, but it seems that the world is calming down a bit. What does the outlook for 2024-25 look like for you and your company? And do you have anything else in the pipeline, or is this your absolute focus? I know you've got dating as another concept, but let's maybe just focus on ShopX and what your expectations are for the sort of next year or so.
You know, next year, 2024, 2025 is going to work out beautifully for ShopX. And the reason is we're coming out of a crypto bear market. During the crypto bear market, it's hard. No one cares about NFTs. Brands don't really want to work with us. So we've had plenty of conversations. We're like, yeah, we think it's the future. When the time comes, we'll work with you guys. But our customers aren't ready for that yet. And that's because of the whole negative environment with the crypto bear market. So as the bull heats up, and this has already happened, we have investors reaching out. We have brands reaching out. We have agencies reaching out. And this is just the beginning. Because once we get that inbound flow, because right now we're still figuring out the process. Like, hey, we have too many brands to work with. We have too many people reaching out. We don't have enough bandwidth for it. But once we figure out the flow, hire the right people to guide that energy into Web3, we'll be in a good spot. And that'll just exponentially increase as the Bitcoin halving reaches, as more and more brands get into space. Because in terms of Web3, the adoption for Web3, it's going, you know, it's like, it could be a hockey ship type curve where it's like, okay, it's going, UI sucks, incentive sucks. But all of a sudden, like one big brand goes full in. Like if Nike goes all in, Web3 is composable, meaning we all build off each other. So we'll see what Nike does, we can copy that solution. Other brands could just scale it up that way. But like Nike goes in, Reebok has to go in, Adidas has to go in, all the smaller brands go in. And we're right there sitting as the bridge for all those brands to enter the space. So e-commerce, I think like a $6 trillion value. There's like a $6 trillion industry. There's not too much of that value into Web3 right now. So we want to be the place that they go to enter the space. And we want to be as helpful as possible. And overall, we want to onboard people in crypto as much as possible. Long term, for Web3 to be successful, it has to be tap, 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 tap. Like my mom has to take out her phone. Her NFT has to be on there. She has to scan. She doesn't know what NFT is. She claims her product. The merchant gets paid. So everyone's happy. But that's something we're all working towards as a collective Web3 community, despite the cringe factor, which is undoubtedly there. I keep telling them, it's like, if you want Web3 mass adoption, you guys have to be less cringe.
Exactly.
And they're like, no, we're cringe. I'm just like, all right, then no mass adoption. You know,
as long as you're happy with a bit of cringe, everything should be all right. But you're right. I think the as soon as it becomes natural for people to do this, and I think it's already happening with the younger generation, this, like you said, that hockey stick, because there's been very little action in Web3 in the last year, a couple of years. It's been, come on, this was the biggest thing, and nothing happened. And I think it's this consolidation phase, getting rid of the bad actors, getting the legalities, as you mentioned, sorted out, so that this can actually go into companies who need to file tax reports and show where their money's going. So I'm super excited about this space and super excited to learn a little bit more about your business. And hopefully this interview will give a couple of brands some ideas to try it out, download the app and get started with some NFTs.
Yeah, honestly, dude. And thank you so much for having me. And again, at ShopX, we're always here to help in any way possible. So again, if you're a brand or you're just interested, Web3 curious, feel free to reach out anytime. I personally enjoy onboarding people in the space, so I'm happy to help.
So I'll put some links in the description. But before we go, I've got to ask, I had to look at the rest of your bio, and there were some interesting discussions in there about, what was that interesting thing? The dark matter research. We won't go into that. That can definitely go into a different discussion. But what would people be surprised to hear that, to know about you?
Well, so I'd say my main hobbies are chess, Muay Thai, reading, and meditation. I just got back from it, and I love blogging this because it was a beautiful transformative experience for me. I just got back from a 10-day Vipassana meditation retreat in Joshua Tree, California. Completely changed my mindset, completely changed my outlook on life. So like now I'm a general, like an incredibly positive person. It's like I go into every situation wishing everyone the best. And because the outer world is a reflection of your inner world, now since I'm wishing everyone the best, I'm like, yo, you go, you look that way, you crush it, guy. They wish me the best, which has just had a compounding effect on my life. So meditation, it's changed my life for the better. Like I wake up every morning, I meditate first in the morning. So it's my intention for the day. My day goes well. Now I can dream. I can have mostly lucid dreams, which is pretty chill, to be honest. But yeah, meditation. And I would say my advice to people is, like, I like to follow these two rules. I think everyone's a conscious creator, whether they know it or not. So when you're creating, just if you're doing anything, don't harm anyone or don't take anything away from anyone. And you're usually good. And if you do those things, the karmic retribution is just never worth it anyway. So it always pays to be kind.
Well, on that positive note, I'm going to end this conversation. Eric, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. And I'll put details of where folks can get in touch with you and have a look at ShopX. And yeah, thanks for spending some time with us and sharing your amazing ideas.
Yeah, that was a blast. Thank you, Nicholas. I'm grateful.
Come, chat with Nicholas. He'll listen to you. Then he'll laugh and then he'll cry with you. It's all in a safe space for you to speak your truth.
For sure.